Right. Right. Well, welcome. Welcome to Journeys. I hope that this is coming through. I'm sure I'll hear it in a second through my headphones once I've started that. Right. Once again, I will try and reconnect to my guest, which doesn't seem to be working very well at all. Skype seems to be completely useless. Right. Okay. Good. I have two guests tonight. Hi, I'm back. All right. Okay. All right. Good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mona. We're all there. I should be hearing this in my headphones any second now. God, it's a long delay. Once I hear it, I can bring my guest back in. There we go. Let's see if we can get her to pick up. There we go. She's, we're calling on the line. And we can start, actually. There we are. Right. Okay, now. I can hear myself coming through my headphones. So that's all good. And, my guest tonight, I said, it's all gonna be fine. It's all gonna be fine. It's just gonna be a really relaxed thing. There'll be, nothing can go wrong. What an idiot. What an idiot for saying that. What could go wrong? I could be locked out of the studio with somebody else's voice talking all the time. Not even being able to say, hello, Lauren, are you on this channel as well? No, it was just the feed. It was just the feed. I couldn't talk to her. Anyway, so... Really good introduction. Anyway, so, look, here we are. We're on internet radio. This is what happens. It's like, it's a bit like sailing the high seas. It's a bit rough, you know, sometimes the wind blows, we get disconnected. It's exciting. It's like pirate radio was in the 60s, you know, when they had boats floating around in the North Sea trying to, avoid international laws. Anyway, long story. Here we are. This is Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, wolfspiritradio.com, everbeyondradio.com, Tyrannosaur. Oh, hang on a second. Let me just connect Tyrannosaur, while we're here. And yeah, and we're now on Tyrannosaur. Welcome to Tyrannosaur Radio in Ireland and Scottish Sovereigns on the Land in Scotland. And yes, my recording is still running. That's good. And we're on all of these stations, most of whom are listener-supported stations with tight budgets and you know, often good things to give. And it's worthwhile helping support. I know everybody here is poor as well. You know, what can we do? But hopefully, in all of the programming that we give, or the deprogramming that we give you a sense that you may have renewed energy and that you're more healed, and therefore you may be potentially able to create more money. And that's the idea of you know, why you might want to donate. You know, if these shows have done a benefit to you, if you've learned something that has enhanced your life, that has maybe even helped you be more efficient in your raising of your rent, perhaps you could throw us a bob or two, as we say in Britain. Anyway, so it's now 12:10 in Britain. It's midnight. It's just about my shows very rarely start at midnight. They usually start at 1 a.m. in Britain. So we're in nightmare fortnight, which is the time between the time zones change. And trying to arrange guests at any particular time, and especially if they live in Arizona. That's the worst one. Arizona means time is like, it's like on another planet somehow. So, I hope my guest isn't in Arizona. My guest tonight, I have been running a show on Wolf Spirit Radio in on a Sunday evening. And in this show, we've been working with healing. The group is led by a gentleman called Frank Jordan, who I've had previously on the show, and various members of his Earth Mind think tank, who generally don't say very much, or haven't in the past, but have now started to express their own voices. And I'd like to introduce to you a voice that you're not going to forget. Actually, we're gonna have two voices tonight that are going to be quite awesome in their own unique way. They're not the same, but they express the same, I think. We'll see. So, first of all, I'd like to introduce Rachel Ledbetter. Hello, Rachel. How are you?
Hello, JP. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here today.
Oh, it's really lovely to have you, actually. People will hear from your voice the kind of expression, point that you're coming from. It's very much of neutral div. I call it neutral divine. It's like the balance between positive, negative, because however it is, and we're going to ask questions. I mean, we're going to find out maybe how this is. You're able to tune into things, and you're able to tune into specific frequencies, or you hear them, and you're able to reproduce them with your voice. Now, I've had previously on my show many times actually a lady called Shari Edwards, who works with sound and frequency in healing, and so this is where we're getting to, because Shari has approached it from a rather scientific point of view. Because it was started out as a kind of semi-interest, and it was an interest of one of her academic colleagues. So they went down the scientific path. But your path is what I would call intuitive. That you just do it. But anyway, let's hear you speak. I'll shut the heck up, because Rachel, I want the world to hear your voice, because it's. Why is it? Because it's encoded with decoding, if you see what I mean. All of the things that you've done, all of the decodings you've done with Frank and with other healers, they're all stored in your soul. And as you speak, your soul expresses those encodings, if I can express that in any way. So I will now be quiet. How did you discover this whole thing? What was it?
Well, how it all first came about, I was initially doing a lot of emotional clearing work, so I think I really cleared a lot out so this could come through. I think that's really important. But what I did was I went to a workshop with Trunvalo Melchizedek, and he was doing the Sacred Heart Meditation. And I had done something with him prior to that, too, called the Unity Breath. And I had a real big remembrance or reaction. My body really reacted to it. But when I did this meditation with him, he does it in two different ways. One is the male way, which is like a step-by-step way, and one is the female. And honestly, I can't remember which way it was, so I assume it's the female. I just went there. And as I did, I had this enormous opening, and I was like sitting in my chair, and there was like a spinning vortex of energy. Literally, my body was moving into a spiral energy, and the energy moved up my body, and I was like inside a pyramid. And it was ancient, and I like walked up these steps, and there was like columns and a lot of hieroglyphs, and I could see like this divine flame inside as I'm still moving in this vortex, and it like shot up out of my body, and it ignited the capstone of that pyramid, and then it shot me out into the galaxy, into the heavens. But as it did this, there was this force of energy that I can only describe it as like a volcano erupting. And this sound came out of me that was like primordial and loud, just like it was like this explosion out of me. And I was like, whoa. And I knew something had happened, but I don't think I understood the whole magnitude at that time, because of that opening, all this other opened up, where I'm now speaking in the light language and all these harmonics and codes. But it was an unfoldment of a process as it happened. And it wasn't a gentle ride either. It was quite explosive. It was like putting your hand in a socket, and it was just like too much electricity coming out. So I had to kind of learn how to balance it. And what I also discovered from this is, like, when it shot me out into the heavens, I see that in our heart, all, when you look up into the night sky, all of that is inside of you. And it's like, it was also showing me, I feel like I went to the music of the spheres. There was like this spiraling energy, and there was like all these really tall and medium size and short crystals that were all harmonic. So I got to kind of see that. But that was what opened me up to this. And I remember going up to Drunvalo that day and wanting to get some information from him, and he wouldn't give it to me. He just bowed. And I remember my eyes were bright red, like bloodshot, because of the energy that literally went through my body. And it's been a really interesting process. Much has unfolded. Initially, when it first opened up, it was out of control. What I got was that I was working with all these different parts of myself. I want to call it my multidimensional parts of self. And so, like, at first I would just be exploring with it, and I just go up into my bathroom and close the door and just allow the energies to come through. And there'll be, like, there's, like, an indigenous woman. I know her. It's like I've gotten to know her. And she will call forth these energies, and literally my arm will be up into the sky and the heavens, and she's calling forth in this language. It's like a calling. And then I can feel the energy come in. And as soon as it does, this particular being I'm working with is so happy, and she's just like laughing, and there's a lot of laughter and giggling. But there's energy work in it. It's like I did not know before this all the different channels in the body. There's like all these around the head, and there's like a channel on the right side, in the middle, and on the side, and it will call forth energies, different harmonics, and it is coded, and it's nothing I could really explain to you in linear language, because I feel like it's very multidimensional. It's kind of like a crop circle. When you see a crop circle, you see it, but there's so much in it, and it's sound, and it's coded and information, and I feel like this light language is the same. And it's something that I also believe that each and every one of us speak. It's in us, and it's a remembrance, and there's many, many people waking up to this now. I get a sense and a feeling of it, and I can tap into it and bring it forth, but to bring some of the English terminology, I don't have some of the definitions of it. You could ask me questions regarding it, but some people can actually interpret some of it, but I really haven't been able to do that. There's words I understand, like Shekinah will come through, or it'll start to sing to Maria, and it's the Mary energies and the Magdalene. I've had a lot around that. And the other is, even initially I've been feeling very strong, like Hathor energies. And then I'll even feel these things upon my head where it almost, I just feel like there's a portal and there's frequencies, and I can call them forth, and it's doing something as like an, almost like an antenna. I don't know how to explain all this, JP, but that's how it initially opened up for me. And it was quite a powerful process. And then I worked with a gal who I felt like was so divinely guided to me, and she helped me to integrate some of these energies, because it was like all these beings coming in at once, and they were so excited, and they all wanted to talk at once. And I'd be like walking into a grocery store, and it all wants to come out, and I'm like, this is not good. So I was walking around with my hand over my solar plex for a while until I learned how to integrate this, and then I get, it's balanced, and it will only come forth now when I call it forth. But that wasn't how it was when it first started. and I feel like it's an unfoldment process. I'm continuously learning from this. It's always changing. It's never the same. And yet there are some languages or tones that sound more familiar, that they come forth more than some. So that's how it began.
So that's quite, there's a lot of information zipped up in there. And this is the whole thing about what I mean by encoding. It's a bit like, you know the way that sometimes people will speak in, and here's a word, it's like an acronym, right? I'm just trying to think of a good one. In Britain, right, here we have the thing, the Royal Air Force, which is abbreviated RAF, and people pronounce it RAF. So you're from the RAF, you're a RAFer, you know, and then it becomes a word of its own, but it has a meaning because it's an acronym. So it's like the words Royal Air Force are encoded in the sound RAF.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
So yes. You know, that brings something up for me too, JP, because what I also had experienced, especially in the earlier years, is I would be called out of bed at night. It's like there was an encodement or a calling, and it was with the star Sirius. And if this makes any sense, it's like I would go out at nighttime and it was like a download of codes, and I could see like the lights and the feeling tone of it. And I was constantly being called out for a particular time with the star Sirius. And I know it's like I can't tell you in English terms, but all this information came down from those light beams and codes and into me. And there's information in all of that as well. And there's like even the dolphin whale type energy comes through this specific light language as well. So I'm tapping into that. But there's an encodement in like even the stars, each star.
Well, it's very interesting. You know, the if you point a camera, you know, zoom a lens, send a telescope to Sirius, and you point a camera at it, and you accidentally, as this is discovered, you tap the tripod. What you get on the camera is a series of stripes, because Sirius is actually demonstrating three colors in turn.
Wow.
So what you're seeing there, what you're reading that fast, it's like having three colors flash, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know?
Yeah.
Or ABC, 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 as what's going on in Sirius, you know, because, and it's really funny that you stand, because I've got a habit, of going to the end of my garden sometimes, exactly the same time, you know, in certain days, same time, and looking up and making sure that, the Orion and Sirius and the Pleiades are still where they are.
Yeah.
You know, to watch where they are, you know, like for some reason I've got to watch them. It's compulsion. And is this what you're talking about? You have the same thing?
Yes, I do. And there's a coding involved in it. And I can feel it like when I'm sleeping in my bed at night, and I'll know like right where it is, and then I'll get called out and there it is. It's like right there. And that happened for a while. It's not as strong. The calling isn't as strong right now. But I just felt like I was doing some particular work with the star Sirius for a while. And someone had just mentioned to me that's working with these new star kids, the autistic children. And she was saying what part of my journey was helping to open that portal of Sirius, because a lot of people come down into that portal and there's a density and coming down into the third dimension. And I'm helping to broaden that that's part of my job is helping to broaden that open. And these kids that are dropping down now are just incredible. They're phenomenal. They're just coming in with their gifts and talents and just amazing. So I feel like that is a little part of what I'm doing as well, is helping to expand that portal, if you will. It's kind of like an hourglass, and the sand drops down, so we're just opening it a bit. That makes any sense.
So you're working with the children. Now, here's the thing. People have all sorts of words these days for what we used to call normal. And we also have other kinds of normal. We call it paranormal or something like that, where people are naturally gifted in various ways. You know, it used to be very common, for instance, for telepathy among the gypsies. And things like that. It's what is culturally accepted or not. There are certain things that so-called autistic children have that at other times would be called gifted or talented or special, you know. But the other thing that has been found is that people who are like alien hybrids also come under this this category, because actually what they are is like normal sensitivity.
Yeah.
It's just that people on the planet here are sort of really dense and thick-skinned and don't feel this stuff. But as soon as you put one of these kids, they're essentially like peeled against the elements, because, you know, everything is very harsh and very blary and overwhelming in many ways.
I understand that deeply, because I have that level of sensitivity. Some of us are coming in a little bit more sensitive, so we feel those things where others are just not at this point. But I feel like that's part of what we came here for, is to help awaken this and to anchor some of these energies onto the earth at this time.
So anchoring energies, which is one of the things that we've been doing in the healing shows, that you've been participating in, is you've helped us move frequencies and to do what could be called earthquake work, which is essentially helping the earth. Now, okay, so first of all, we're helping the earth channel its energy instead of going into an earthquake and causing destruction. The same energy is channeled to a place where it can be protected, for instance, like a heat shield or a solar shield or something like that. Or as what Frank calls a golden grid. Many people call it a golden grid. And it's actually just come out in the news that there's this third Van Allen belt that has just come out. I just discovered a new Van Allen belt. My guides told me about 2009 that there's this new shield around the earth. I think something like that. So it's on my website. It's on crownbasedtransmissions.com. Crownbasedtransmissions.com, people.
It's wonderful what Frank is teaching, because it's like releasing the stress off the earth, and he also teaches others to how you can do the same for your own physical body. So that part's wonderful. And what I'm speaking of, though, on some of the anchoring with the light language, it's like I even have a picture when I was in Kauai, where I was bringing through the light language, and I was just singing to Mother Earth. And after I did that, I turned around and took a picture, and the picture shows where I stood, and there's a pyramid of white light with a shaft of light coming from the heavens to where I stood. And so I feel like with these light languages, it's also anchoring these new harmonics, kind of like a mini little crop circle, if you will, onto the earth. It's kind of like ringing a bell.
I'd say harmonic. Well, if you look at a crop circle and you look at what they call Chladni figures or chymatic figures, that's exactly the same thing. So You're probably doing it on a frequency that doesn't burn holes in the thing, burn holes in the in the ground, which is what they're doing.
Opening new portals, let's say.
Yeah, exactly. So, hang on, I'm having a little issue with my headphones. I just have to give it a... what's going on here? I don't know why, but the my voice is coming out of the wrong ear. Anyway, meanwhile, let's not worry about all these weird technical hitches that I said to Rachel just before the show, everything's going to be fine, it's going to be easy, and there's going to be no problems at all. So immediately, the first time I ever connect, and Studio A is linked to Studio B, and I can't do anything about it. Anyway,
it makes perfect sense to me, JP, because we're talking about harmonics and we're tuning in and refining to get to that perfect station, that perfect note.
where people might maybe wondering, you said the language of light. Now, when I've heard you speak, the person who it reminds, or the sound that it reminds me of mostly, when you're kind of speaking in a kind of, it's like a kind of almost dialogue sort of tone, or slightly Benedictine sort of tone. It sounds most like Lilu from the Fifth Element film. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
And
I'll
she
have
was,
to go back and check that out.
Yeah, she was like an original. She was like the template for humanity, kind of Eve type. Type being, so that was it's quite interesting, because that's it sounds like a kind of Latin sort of sound to it, with the cadence of Latin, so it sounds like almost sort of like an Italian sort of cadence of it.
Yeah, there's different ones that'll come through, but I noticed there's some that are a little they come through more often. And I just get out of the way and trust.
Excellent. Sorry, something's gone wrong with my headphones, and I'm trying to figure out which switch exactly is the one that's not right. It's something on my mixing it, but anyway.
So you're hearing differently in different ears.
Yeah, and that's a bit strange. You know, it happens, doesn't it? Do you ever get that, where you hear one tone? I get this thing. My hearing goes, like, it goes deaf in one ear, and in the other ear I hear, or something like that.
I get so many frequencies, and I've become just even more and more sensitive with it. And I've noticed since I've worked with Frank Jordan, new portals open up above my head, and there's like layers upon layers of them. And then I get these downloads with different frequencies. Like literally this energy comes into my eyes, and my eyes get really heavy, and I know I have to lay down, and the frequencies come in and work with me. And then when it's done, I'm complete with whatever it was that I just did. But I'm constantly getting frequencies, and even those galactic tones that come through, like with Frank, they were really loud in the beginning. And what I feel is happening is we're integrating more, so they don't have to come in as strong as they did initially.
All right, so you're able to, for instance, hear them slightly sensitively.
That's with the galactic, when they actually come through audibly on the Skype, you can actually hear them. And I feel like when we were first getting the downloads, they were very strong and very loud. And today they're not as loud. Sometimes they'll come in, but they're just more gentle. And I kind of found that to be true with my own process. Like when it first came in, it came in like huge. And it can shatter glass. And it can be very gentle and loving as well. But yeah, there's all kinds of things going on with the frequencies, and my ear chakras just feel huge. I'm always trying to cover them so I can go out and about, but they are fine-tuned.
Well, that's the thing about some what they call high functioning autistic kids, they discover that the thing they can do with them is give them earplugs.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. In fact, there was one gal that I was explaining to her what I was going through, and she said that she was really understanding what the autistic kids are going through based on what I was sharing with my own experience, because I get that sensitive with certain sounds and frequencies.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, some autistic kids, you know, you can't turn on the Hoover the vacuum cleaner. They freak out. And just like cats and dogs, you know, we humans make a terrible racket.
It's true. And I went to a sound conference once. In fact, Sherry Edwards was there. It was a really wonderful conference. And they were sharing that in the future, all of our devices, our refrigerators, our vacuum cleaners, the blowers for the leaves, they will all be harmonic, because they're going to learn how these harmonics, what they do to the body. And so we need to, I guess, take that chaos and put it into a harmonic.
Well,
when people become more aware of all the sounds around you, you'll notice.
Well,
like
here's
even
the thing. Sorry, honey. Go ahead.
Like the Bluetooth is one thing they share too, that people don't understand all that going right into your head and what that's going to actually do. You know, they're going to say, whoops, sorry. And there's just going to be a lot of people losing their hearing and having effect. Our sound is, I just don't think people are quite aware of the sounds around them. Even the music people play, it does stuff with your body. And we are a crystal. We're a liquid crystal. So all of that, I would rather surround myself in beauty and loving.
Well, this is the thing. And, well, going from the beginning of what you were saying, which is like, oh, I really want to jump in there, which is the tuning of our electrics. Because we know that things are bad for us, but there is a way to make frequencies that are good for us. And those are the ones that are tuned to the human body, and not only just the human body, but to what I call the truth frequency, which is geometry. Geometry is the truth frequency. If something is geometrically beautiful, it is beautiful in all other ways, you know. So you see all these geometric designs, these fractals and things like that. And they look just like nature, because that's how nature is. They're working on the same principles. And so, for instance, in UK we have 50 cycles a second. In America you have 60 cycles a second. I believe, now this is another one of my crazy theories, but I believe that the cycles should be harmonized to 54 across the globe. And I'll tell you why, because 54 is exactly the note of A on the 432 hertz Pythagorean traditional tuning scale. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not that specifically, but I heard something too, and you might know more about this, JP. I found it to be fascinating. There's a gentleman, I think his name is Fabian the Man. He's a sound healer, and he was talking about the harmonics of our voices. And when you're around someone whose harmonic is too close to yours, you'll find an agitation or an irritation. But if they're five notes apart, it's harmonic. So I found that to be really, really interesting. So when you're with someone and it just flows, it feels good. It just, you can feel it. Do you know anything about that, JP? Because you know much.
That's I got a story about that. I have exactly a story about that, which is, you know, I met Sherry Edwards in about 1995, and I hung out with her for a couple of weeks, actually reproducing her tape. I'd recorded a tape of her lecture, and it was so brilliant, everybody wanted a copy, so I just, you know, sat there with the tape machine, and sometimes I would have conversations with her, so I learned a lot in those 2 weeks. But essentially, I got what she was doing, and I moved up to Scotland a few years later, and in various times it's come out that I've actually helped some people with it, and there were several instances, and but the one thing that I did that I recorded my own voice before and after a session, and when I played back, when I did the session and I did the client and recorded their voice and gave them the frequency and record and got their voice print again, and you can see that that's all calm down there. And then I looked at my voice print, and I discovered that my voice was imprinted with the frequency that this person needed. So, I was actually giving them the frequency. I could have measured my voice and found out what's my peak frequency at that moment, because that would be that person's frequency. Now, when's your birthday, Rachel?
November 10th, 1960.
So you're a Scorpio. So our voices would be in a harmonic fifth position, yes. Because what comes out of your voice predominantly in 80% of cases is related to your birthday.
Ah.
That's another thing that that Shari Edwards and her team discovered. Because they measured people's frequencies, and everybody had these predominant frequencies, and it turns out that these frequencies also relate to parts of the body. So, you know, the whole thing, you know, Aries relates to the head and Pisces relates to the feet, et cetera, like that. It also relates to the month that you're born and the frequency according to the zodiac. You know, because the zodiac is a frequency. Every day has its own frequency.
It would be interesting too to find out, like when I'm in the light language, what it does, which would be different than my own speaking voice.
Well, yeah. So we could run some tests on that. Get a good an isolated recording without anybody sort of breathing or anything, and measure some frequencies of it. Because, you know, well, I mean, one of the things you did, and it was an interesting thing, because she's another host on this station, is Tracy Kennedy. And several years ago, Shari and Tracy and I were on the show. And she, it was a funny thing she said, because right at the beginning she said, okay, let me measure your voice. And she measured my voice, and she said, my frequency is on a strange kind of, it's like not one, not the other. It's between frequencies, it's between, you know, and, it's a sort of, you know, magenta purple sort of thing. All right. Okay. And then, we had Tracy on and she was speaking, and after a while she said, oh wow, your voice is missing a specific frequency in this funny little place. It's kind of halfway between. And I said, is it my frequency by any chance? He said, yeah, that's the one. And it's funny because, you know, Tracy's one of the first people who has said, your voice has this nourishing thing. And that's what I'm talking about, encoding. My voice has these encodings. If I speak properly from the heart, I'm not just doing it for me, and I'm not doing it for the person, it's for everybody, and it's like all this stuff comes through, and it tells you people about where they come from and who they are, and that's why you're listening to Journeys with JP, sort of thing. So, and that's why I like to bring on other people whose voices have encoding. So here you're saying you're quoting Sirius. So here's one for all you Sirius people.
Yes. It's interesting, this whole light language, and there's a lot of healing modalities with it as well. So it's a very exciting time.
Well, I'm getting some feedback here from Walt in who's actually another member of the Earth Mind group. He says what she's getting might be Solex Mal, the universal language spoken in the solar system. Vec Borogas means space friend.
I love Walt. He was telling me, he did a shamanic journey for me, and then this other gal I just worked with, she was saying, Rachel, you're one of these souls that doesn't come to Earth very often. I feel like I am bringing certain galactic type energies here. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely got the, there's, I mean, the connection with, so what happened? Were you always like this? Were you, I mean, was there times in your childhood when you felt this energy come through, but it was like malformed or not ready, or you denied it, or, you know, was everything just normal?
No, it wasn't normal, but I didn't have a childhood where I could really bring this forth. But in, I used to have some experiences. I was always very in tune with frequencies. I would hear them, and I would always say to my mom, like, do you hear that? And she's like, no, Rachel, you're just so sensitive. And, I mean, we'd just walk into stores, and I could hear and feel all these different frequencies. And one thing when I was a little girl, I found to be really fascinating. I wish I could remember them now, but I had a bookshelf like in my room, and they were like long rectangle squares, and at night they would light up like TV screens, and they would be showing me all these different things, but I can't remember them now. And the other thing is, I kind of feel very strongly that I had a near-death experience when I was very young, and I had this sense of the tunnel with harmonics. I always knew there was some kind of a harmonic. And I was always reading books about life after life, and I'm just a little girl. I couldn't get enough of it. And asking, I had a friend of my father's who had a near-death experience, and I was just starved that kind of information. So I did have that, and I was a real magical child. I was like dancing with the bushes. They were my audience. And I was just like with the fairy beings, and I was out with the dirt and the frogs, and there was something about really being with nature when I was younger that was just really a very healing part. But I think when I feel their presence in my room, and there would be like columns of light, especially green, the emerald green color would come into my room. So there was some experiences, but I really had no one I could share it with or talk to when I was a young child.
Oh, wow. So you kind of shut it away and carried on life as normal. We got about 7 or 8 minutes left, for this, hour. And it's, you know, here's someone who was saying, I don't know if I could fill a whole hour, you know. So you've done very well, Rachel, and you have so much more than you know, as most people do. You know, it's like you just need to ask the right questions. I think I like to think I ask the right questions for the
Oh, you do. Beautiful job, JP. Thank you.
Yeah, Walt's talking about Solex Mal, and so I've just posted a little thing in the chat box here as a glossary of this language, Solex Mal, which is, the solar system language, he says. Anyway, so, who knows? Who can tell? You know, let's just throw everything in the box, and if somebody says, oh, that's rubbish, then we can throw it out, but if it's not, it might float to the top and might be useful. I just want to be useful. That's all I want to do. Yes, like we all really are here for to be useful in these strange changing times.
Yes. And if your audience wants to hear, I'd be happy to bring through so they can have the experience of what the light language is.
I would love that. So perhaps, could you give a kind of general gist of what they'd be about to say and then let them say it? Or does it go the other way around?
I really can't interpret. I can put the intention, for example, as a divine blessing for each person's heart, and just bring through an energy that will come through. But to interpret it, I I feel like I have to get me out of the way. I don't even want to taint it in any way because I feel like it's pure in its own sense. So I just put out the intention.
Okay then. So with that intent in heart, may the minds and hearts be unified by this. By this thing. Thank you very much. This is Rachel Ledbetter and the language of light, or the solar system. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
I will give just a little language, and then I'll give a harmonic, and it's for the blessing of everyone who's listening in their heart. Hajala makutwari ale adwa ki hamakahane sharamakutwa ki makahenea. Ajaria dakalia jaramakilia dwakima kahani shanama. Je twaki shalama. Han yeromo maya he alepo. Han maladon tori he alepo. Oh, hamare on your amon de kal, on je on no amor, on je amon mea, on je ade anon, iler amakom maye. Alle hon de koria onia, alle hon mo ante kal, on je hon mo ante kal, on je i he amor, en je i e he yon, i alle moton diria, Ie ia motori alerama, ole ie he amor. On ce ie amor, on ce ie amor, on ce ie amor. Ie 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 he hana. Hilera mahoria heria olegie heia. Wow. So again, there's this sense that it's that there's a sort of Middle Eastern-y flavor and Latin-y flavor. It's lovely. It just completely speaks from the core of you know, human civilization somehow. I don't know, whatever it is, it has a very pleasing and calming and unifying effect on the. Certainly on me, and I hope that everybody received that blessing and benefit. So I do too. Yeah. And it also brings a remembrance, because each and every one of us have this within. And what I've also noticed is others that do open up to this, it may sound different, but it seems as if those that speak this, they all understand each other. But it's a harmonic, it's a frequency.
Yeah, it feels like I should understand it. It's a bit like if I knew that I lived the past life in Germany, for instance, and I would listen to German, there's some part of me that thinks, well, I should understand this, but I just don't. Which is actually true, as I do it. Exactly. And there is this sense of like recognizable thing. It's kind of, I don't know, it's like I said, it's like, it's sort of like Latin meets Japanese and like all the languages of the world and the intonations are like, and what can I say? It's...
Yeah, and it's amazing, JP, what comes out of my mouth at times. There's times where it's not even human. I'm like, how does even these sounds come out? Like the dolphin whale sound in particular. Or there's a gonging. I think you've heard that one. There's like an oriental flavor. And it's just interesting. I think it's that we're opening up to our multidimensional parts of self. Mm. And we're touching it.
Oh, there was this one that you did, which was the breaking down of Candida.
Yeah.
Which I've traced back to yeast. And its distribution from the center of our culture, which is Egypt. From the Egyptian gods of Egypt, they gave us yeast, they gave us beer and bread. And they've even convinced us that we should be eating this stuff. Oh, give us this day our daily bread and etc.
Yes.
You know, whereas actually it causes harm.
That's right.
Rachel Ledbetter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jake. Lots of love to you.
Lots of love to everybody. Hey, listen, stay tuned. We got Laura Eisenhower next hour. And now, good afternoon. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, Revolution Radio, Studio B, Scottish Sovereigns on the Land.ning.com, Tiranasau Radio from Ireland, all broadcasting from my 16th century cottage, curiously placed behind this modern wormhole, which brings me through to Revolution Radio and everybody else. To bring you amazing women, amazing people, but amazing women tonight, you know, this is the thing. So, second amazing, the first amazing woman was Rachel Ledbetter. She was giving us all the language of light, speaking the language of light to us, and that was incredibly incredible. And so today, and it's double incredible. So, With that kind of build up, what can you do? This is JP. Hello, Laura. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, JP?
I'm very, very good. Very good. And it's been good fun this evening. My previous guest in the first hour was talking the language of light, which sounds like it reminds me of the lady in The Fifth Element. Did you ever see that film, Lilu?
Oh yes.
With the red hair and the way she spoke.
Right.
Very much like that. It's very kind of healing, you know.
Oh, excellent.
Frequencies. She uses. She sings these notes, which and all that stuff. Last night she did one. Hang on, I'm going to cheat. And she did one. It was like for about like a whole minute, long thing. And just right at the end, I just took my 432 hertz thing, and like it was just exactly the same note. She was just spot on with
the
432 frequency. So she runs she's part of the healing group that we do a show on Sunday evenings in Wolf Spirit Radio. So
cool.
Lots of plugs for Wolf Spirit Radio because we deserve it. We're brilliant. Anyway,
oh, you guys are the best.
The rarest. We're the rarest. There's like a fine cheese. But without too much cheese and without further ado, Laura, we've got a lot to talk about. Let's cover a lot of ground in very few minutes.
Yes.
Like about 15 minutes. So, right, let's start. Alternative 1, alternative 2, alternative 3, now alternative 4, and what with the latest revelations from Captain K, and his special operation. This has all happened since the last time I spoke to you. You know, you just started talking about alternative 4, but we didn't quite get around to it. So, do you want to start there and fill us all in on because you're learning all the time, aren't you?
Yeah. And what's great is it sort of brings it more form, more reality. You know, originally, it was, and it's still the same, you know, thing that it's about the power of the human spirit. You know, certain things have changed, though, as far as seeing how this can be initiated, you know, certain solutions, certain ways to kind of, you know, inspire humanity into this way of thinking. You know, and that's sort of like an ongoing thing, you know, where just waiting for the epiphanies and, you know, there's quite a few that have come. And but basically, because I was recruited to go to Mars in 2006, And my research showed me that this is connected to Alternative 3, which was set up in the Eisenhower administration in the event of a catastrophe or a human cataclysm. People know the story, but while I was dealing with the recruitment stuff, I really had a sense, you know, well, that's not a bad idea to protect the human genome, to protect our DNA, and, you know, that sort of makes sense to me. You know, I don't really necessarily want to go to Mars was always the thing, and, you know, eventually, of course, but, you know, I just knew that I had real work to do here, and leaving around the 2012 window period, which is what they presented with me, was just like, whoa, wait, that's the window period where things are really getting turned on here, and there's no way. You know, that's what I've been preparing for my whole life, is this particular window period. And so, you know, through a lot of research and understanding Alternative 3, you know, there is another understanding that that agenda that used to seem to be okay was infiltrated. And now it's not about protecting the human genome or human DNA. It's about a breakaway civilization. It's about implementing new world order. You know, it's about the elitists hoarding the aliens' technology. And, you know, and I think a lot of people, you know, could nod their heads and easily say, yeah, that makes sense, you know, because when we're dealing with ET government treaties and alien technology and we're not seeing a whole bunch of it, and we know that there's all sorts of stuff going on with mind control and psychotronic weaponry and artificial intelligence and time travel and teleportation and, you know, quantum access technologies and things that, you know, we see in sci-fi movies, you know, people are getting more comfortable with the idea that, yeah, there is a group of people that are holding some very advanced technology. And so Ike was privy to this. I mean, even though, the thing is, my research has shown me that the treaties began as far as U.S. presidents with Roosevelt, and they get renewed every 10 years. So Eisenhower was up for 1954. By that time, the three-letter organizations were very well in place, and the infiltrations had already begun. And, you know, Alternative 4 just seemed to be more about, this is what we're going to do when we create a scenario with HARP technologies and create superstorms and create sort of a simulated artificial timeline to create sort of an Armageddon to make us, you know, feel that, you know, or at least give humanity the impression that going to Mars is smart. But then here we have like a devastated world, you know, left over that they manage from afar, you know, whether that's underground bases or off-planet colonies. And I'm thinking all of this is just whacked. We don't need to go down this road. Mother Earth, you know, is not a part of this, you know, not a part of any sort of artificial timeline, you know, maybe, you know, some cataclysms that might have been natural, you know, connected to Mother Earth are still a part of, you know, what Alternative 3 was originally set up for. But, you know, now we have these technologies that are controlling nature, so it's just, we're in a cluster of all sorts of things that we need to sort of untangle and get a really big look at. And so anyway, understanding all of this in 2006, you know, it just kept dawning on me, you know, well, what about another alternative? Well, that's easy. This is the one that I was definitely born, you know, very confident about, you know, confident with the human race, confident with who we are. And that's Alternative 4. And so really what it relates to, which I've done research on that has validated it, because before it was sort of a concept, and I'm like, okay, let's make sure that this is possible. And I know it's possible, but more possible than just, you know, come on, everybody, let's unify and let's connect on a spiritual level and everything's going to be fine. You know, there's something else here, because first of all, you know, there's a lot more to the story. For us to unify, we have to find our uniqueness and our authenticity. We can't unite in the way that things are right now, because we are kind of uniting, and we're conquered and divided. We're dealing with historical resentments. We're dealing with all sorts of things that make it very difficult to unify on the level that unity consciousness really means. You know, we're sort of, you know, following the lead of media, Hollywood. I mean, we aren't, but you know, the world at large, you know, is definitely still being socially engineered, so there's not that authenticity. So how the hell are we going to unify if there's not that? So Alternative 4 is about first understanding what it takes to do the inner work, you know, devoting oneself to the path and understanding that the power of the human spirit is going to carry us through. And so my work is really about educating people about, you know, how can I really hit the point home without it just being some fluffy misunderstanding of what New Agey is. And it's really about, you know, our DNA and how it's connected to the stargates on Earth. And so in this ascension window period, as we have the opportunity to expand in our multidimensional body, this Earth is also going through you know, expansion into higher earth energies. And we're lifting the veil, but of course all this other stuff wants to steer us in a different direction. So the alternative three timeline isn't necessarily what it used to be. That alternative doesn't really make sense now that there's infiltration. And it was never, you know, an end-all, be-all alternative. It just seemed like, okay, this would be a good idea while life still continues. But in the event that there might be a catastrophe, we have this backup plan. None of that ever seemed to be the case, even if that was the original idea when I was exposed to it. So alternative four is really, you know, understanding what it really means to unify, understanding, you know, that uniqueness and just individuality and being empowered and what that is an important prerequisite, you know, just like we see in nature. A squirrel's not trying to be a dolphin. I mean, you know, we're dealing with massive diversity in the web of life and in nature, and that is oneness. It's a mandala, you know, and so diversity and harmony is oneness. And those principles, you know, are things that we, you know, need to really recognize, and also the balancing of the masculine and feminine. And if we could just do that, you know, then what is going to protect us as a human race is this alternative four. And to me, it just connects to the positive timeline that was here all along.
Like this. And your phone agrees, yeah. So
this is
something I think we both call it the same thing, which is what I call the organic timeline. The if there weren't any time traveling Nazis, how would the Earth be?
Right.
You know, good. This is, you know, time traveling Nazis. That's my. I'm co-writing a book.
That's excellent. Oh my gosh.
Yes, it's awesome. But it's a. It's, you know, it's what's wrong with the world, isn't it? You know, that's part of the problem. You know, and then there's the, you know, the other people who have been time traveling, and the aliens who have been time traveling, or the ETs, or the Star El, you know, whatever you want to call them. Depends on how angry you are with them or not. Because, you know, they all seem to be deceiving us. You know, nowadays the Pleiadians aren't so good and the reptilians aren't so bad. You know, it's like the whole chessboard is moving around.
Yeah, and it's so true. It's like, we've been caught, of course, in this, in between, you know, different, you know, groups, you know, that have been in war with each other. Galactic wars have been going on for so long, and, you know, and it's, you know, then it comes down to the Anunnaki, and, you know, what Enki and Enlil wanted for the human race that wasn't, you know, quite the same. And then, of course, you know, there's Inanna, and there's, you know, goddess energy there as well, and it's the management of humans, you know. And then here are the humans saying, okay, we don't like that sort of management. That's not very fair. And the reason that, you know, it's easy for us to say that is because our DNA isn't just human. I mean, we can reach, you know, that capacity. We've had past lives where we might be incarnations of those beings. Just because we're in the physical doesn't mean that we haven't had those experiences before. So the whole, you know, separation of gods, goddesses to humans, you know, or source energy, pure source energy in humans, you know, is much different than, you know, if on a DNA level it was guaranteed that a human is a human and they only have a human soul that's never ventured beyond being in a human experience. That's not true. You know, I read past lives, and, you know, I know that, you know, there's a lot of people here in human bodies that have had extraordinary experiences that are beyond, you know, human memories or what we've experienced, you know, on this human level. And so, you know, whatever we have in common as far as, you know, the structure of our bodies, you know, for the most part, you know, where we can recognize Homo sapien, you know, God only knows what soul is indwelling, you know, that physical body. And, you know, people have passion, people have purpose, people have memories, you know, people have missions, and that becomes a new part of the human management system. It's not just about, you know, different ET groups or the Anunnaki or factions of this or that. You know, it's really about our direct connection with spirit and recognizing that, you know, it's our sovereignty. We each, you know, have the ability to manifest our own realities. And, you know, that doesn't take away from unification. The unification part is that mutual love and respect and that ability to allow, you know, some of those differences to play out. As long as there's a, you know, an agreement of integrity and being guardians and stewards for the land and earth we live on, I think we do just fine. But, you know, I feel like, you know, people have been saying as above, so below, but I'm much more in the mode right now of as below, so above. That we're going to affect all this change. We're going to wake up to who we truly are, and whatever's been running the show that sort of sit and that sort of, you know, rulership position is going to be humbled and maybe, you know, need to, you know that, you know, they aren't in the ruling position, and we are expanding above and beyond that domain that they've been holding for so long.
So, in your vision of Alternative 4, how do you, is it more like a, I mean, what's the, what, all right, so let's start again. We don't really need governments and establishments, do we? So how can we be, like, is it possible that we could step completely away from this kind of imperial structure? Couldn't we just, like, everybody just take a step to the side and it just crumbles into dust, leaving us back to an organic lifestyle? And what would that mean?
And that would just be where it's at. I mean, sure, it's going to be difficult at first, and sure, you know, so many people are addicted to the Matrix, and you know, they have you know, plugged into it so much. And the thing is, you know, people defend it, but you know, when we unplug from it and we recognize that, you know, we're not going to go in massive survival. We're not going to, you know, lose our minds without money. We're actually going to advance our spiritual abilities and learn how to access abundance, you know, learn how to really heal ourselves, you know, through understanding energy and frequency. And, you know, we're going to get ourselves back. And so we have to do this. I mean, I'm on a campaign to make sure that people know how evil Hillary Clinton is, and anybody that, you know, it's like, it's not about politics to me, you know. When people say, what party are you, Republican or Democrat, I'm like, I don't even know what those two things mean. You know, I don't even know what the third alternative is. I don't pay attention to that part of it. You know, it's like, similar to you, it's like, you know, what are the technologies behind the scenes? What is the true nature of these beings that think that they have the right to rule us? And if they're criminal, they don't belong there. That's all, that's where everything stops. The politics, to me, is venturing into a meadow that, or a field that I shouldn't even enter, because I should stop at the first sign that says there's something wrong here. Kathy O'Brien wrote a book about it. You know, she's torturing, she's enslaving, she, you know, is working the monarch programming, and we shouldn't vote that into office. And so there's nothing beyond that for me. It all stops there. You know, that is the only reality that I see. And
well, there's a lovely thing going on right now. Do you know about this? There's these denied emails that are coming out of Hillary's office. So
I did see something about that.
They are taking the Clintons down. I would say that right now what we're witnessing is taking the Clintons down. So you can just relax, Laura, because you and everybody else has applied the appropriate pressure. And now you can use your pressure elsewhere, and relax.
And I started to read that, and I was like, okay, this is encouraging, encouraging. And of course, I went away for the weekend. And so it's just an example, though. It's like, you know, if I don't have to worry about her, she was a huge one, so that's awesome. But, you know, just helping people to understand that, you know, this isn't about political debate. This isn't about anything like that. This is about really understanding what the structure of government represents, what type of people have been, you know, put into office, what type of people will be, you know, continue to maybe be, you know, groomed to go in there, you know, right from the CIA and things like the Mars Training Program, which Barry Satoro, you know, Obama was connected with. And the thing is, you know, it's so good you're writing a book about the time travel and the Nazis, because, you know, they've been rewriting history and, you know, creating a whole another world that hasn't even really been lived, and people are supporting it and people are backing it, and it's almost like the real stuff is just being wiped away, and I can almost feel these time travelers when I'm sleeping at night. And so, you know, and then I'm like trying to access my natural time travel abilities to sort of offset them. And sometimes I have dreams that show that, hey, maybe something's happening. Sometimes I wonder, am I just projecting that, you know, something happened? But, you know, we're incredibly powerful. It's like, you know, we are in this big organism that, you know, has this consciousness, and, you know, the past, future, and present are all accessible, similar to memories within ourselves. And, you know, in the nowness, though, you know, whatever we want to improve upon, whatever we want to adjust that might have already taken place, you know, we just simply need to shift our perception and send it energy wherever it is, past or future, and know that, you know, that's our own form of time travel without needing to use the technologies. They're going to wave these things in our face and sort of intimidate them, us with them. you know, like, oh, look at what gadgets I have and you guys don't have it, you know. And so as we unfold into this sort of transhumanism agenda where we might want to, you know, jump on board, you know, let's be very careful because, you know, we're really here for spiritual and soul development and to understand that we're the most advanced technology. And there are a lot of technologies that will assist us, but there's ones that will not assist us. And they'll keep us, you know, in the game of messing with things all the time instead of restoring and rebuilding and regenerating and connecting to, you know, what's real. And they've tricked us into thinking that we can't get more advanced than a lot of these technologies. And I think that's a really important thing also about, you know, what I want to do is, you know, show us that doorway so that we can start to awaken that cellular memory. And, you know, the thing is, you know, it's happening. I mean, everybody's got their role that they're waking up to, and it's, and you're right in a lot of ways. You know, I look around and it's just like, oh my God, I can't really just sit back. You know, it's like, you know, people are starting to just really access, you know, their truth and like, okay, this is what makes me unique and this is my offering. And, you know, and it doesn't take huge numbers, you know, to affect huge change to spread something. So yeah, maybe enough of us were poking at Hillary and then all of a sudden a breakthrough happened. And, but anyway, yeah, government can be abandoned. We can, you know, form soul pods, you know, soul groups, you know, connect with those that we feel closest to and have resonance with, you know, and, you know, being sort of that, you know, tribe, you know, and maybe there'll always be one person in the tribe that chooses to kind of bounce around and explore what's going on in the other tribes to kind of create sort of like, you know, a link, you know, maybe with one main hub being, you know, the center of, you know, acknowledging source and how it relates to the grand central sun and maybe the core sun of Gaia without it being about a deity or without it being about dogma, but just direct understanding, you know. You know, maybe, you know, with just something that we can just view as a sculpture, you know, just to remind ourselves that, you know, we are receiving and we are giving and we are co-creating and, you know, our concept of God, goddess, you know, is going to go through a lot of changes over the course of time. And, you know, just being in oneness with it and just recognizing that, you know, we're artists with the energy of the elements, you know, is just a great revelation. And we've been dealing with, you know, the occultists that have understood this with dark ritual and with a lot of the reversals that we're getting, you know, back on track. You know, it'll be about us, you know, using our powers with integrity and wisdom and, you know, understanding that we can work with the elements and affect great change. But it doesn't have to be that black magic sorcery, you know, manipulation. You know, most of us wouldn't, you know, want to venture down that road anyway, but they've been playing this behind the scenes, you know, to be in the controlling, you know, positions in collaboration with these ET races. And they've compromised their DNA because they just want to be, you know, ruler and controller. And, you know, the beauty is, you know, they can incarnate into higher lines and restore themselves and redeem themselves. So let's always remember that, you know, we want to hold space for that. And, you know, also forgive it because, you know, there was a reason for playing out the tree of good and evil. There was a reason that, you know, all of this ended up taking place. And maybe it doesn't always make sense. Maybe we have moments where it does a little bit. And maybe some things, you know, take away the sensibility because there's so much unfairness with the technological manipulations. But to really enter this new paradigm, though, I think is to drop the us and them and to just invite it back into the heart so that it, you know, has the chance to, you know, experience reconnection, you know, with what's organic and the mother, father energies, too. And there's so many ancient, you know, myths and stories connected to those separations, and we don't know if those stories are written true, but all I know is that we're the script writer and we can write better stories, and it's time that we're empowered enough to take the reins and, you know, grab the pencil, grab the paintbrush and say, you know what, let's envision what it is and let's make sure our creative channels receive the instructions and let's not allow anything else in, any, you know, instructions that are coming from the Matrix or media. And, you know, that's part of sovereignty and just having a protected aura, you know, and we can still connect and unify. And so, you know, that is all what needs to happen for Alternative 4 to be successful, because we can unify and have the same stuff play over and over again that's been happening in the past. But, you know, we have to connect in a whole new way. And nature is doing exactly, giving us what we need. Life experiences are doing that too. And we have to just, you know, really, you know, embrace everything that's unfolding and be conscious in every moment of why certain things are showing up. You know, instead of always, you know, maybe running for some form of medication or escapism, you know. And there's the Matrix escapism, you know, in some of the people that seek status and materialism. And then there's the light worker escapism, which is being so incredibly pained and annoyed with the Matrix, beings who are programmed that there's a form of escapism, which is, oh my God, help me cope with this screwed up reality. I was lost in that for a long time. You know, just like, oh my God, I can't deal with this. But you know, let's face it head on. I mean, I'm just so excited. Anyway.
Which is energizing and inspiring. And I was saying in my introduction to the show, when I managed to get onto the air, that you know, I have two inspiring, unique, individual, international women here. And you know, I want to share something with you, Laura. When I hear you talking, I keep seeing. This spinning galaxy, right?
Uh-huh.
All I can see is this is Hunabku, this is Aeon.
Right.
Issue, right? So, can you tell the story from the inside of the Aeon Sophia? Let's just go there, right?
Oh, cool.
If you would please, because I would imagine that, you know, you don't get the chance to talk about this very much, but I heard John Lear talking about it, and I thought, wow.
John Lear?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Was it John Lear? No, either John, sorry, it was John
Lear. John Lash?
John Lash, yes, John Lam Lash.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, so, well, okay. Yeah. Well, it's been a tough one because, you know, I've had this connection for multiple lifetimes, pretty much since the very beginning, and, you know, it's not something that I necessarily want to talk about and, like, make people wonder, like, what is she claiming? What, you know, who does she think she is? You know, to me, it's also, you know, a universal energy, something that we're all a part of and something that, you know, we all share in. But there's a lot of altered texts out there, even the Nag Hammadi. You know, I've been told from a few different psychic mediums, and I'm, you know, pretty psychic, and I do readings, and, you know, but I need validation for the hits that I get about things that are personal. So I'm reading this stuff, and I'm just thinking, you know, something just doesn't feel right, or there's just something that I just know it was different. And I have to trust myself, and it's been difficult to just give myself that credit. And I'm not necessarily going to go shouting out to everybody, this is the way it really was, and all that is BS. You know, you don't want to hear that. But I do want to start to introduce, you know, new ways to look at these myths. A lot of them were written specifically to make the female look like she was at fault. I mean, we see that, you know, in religion, but that's understandable that religion does that, because I think most of us know religion's pretty whacked. But when it comes to Gnosticism and things like the Nag Hammadi, you wouldn't expect that. And so there are some alterations from what I understand. John Lash, you know, has done wonders, you know, with helping us all to understand, but we have to also understand that he's coming from a place of being a spiritual theorist, you know, but there's a lot of truth in there. And what I love about somebody like him, and what I always, you know, want to remind people of when I speak is, I don't know if he says this to people, but this is how I view his work and how I share and sort of present myself. You know, take what resonates and leave the rest. This is like an archaeological dig. There's always going to be gray areas. You know, let your intuition, you know, help you to, you know, discern and maybe, you know, invite yourself to be a part of the conversation. You know, I'm introducing concepts so that we can all just sort of ponder it and talk about it. And so I don't come from a place of fixed beliefs where this is it and how dare you challenge me. And it's more like, all right, here's a lot of research. I've connected a lot of dots. Here's my life experience. This is what my intuition and psychic mind has showed me. You know, let's throw it out there. And, you know, from this point on, let's give ourselves the opportunity to talk about it with respect. You know, not these, you know, horrible YouTube comments that are insulting and demeaning and just, I mean, that's their own, you know, operation, of course, to undermine us. But, the Aeon Sophia, when we think of, you know, the Godhead and we think of the Pleroma, you know, basically it started off, you know, the limitless light, the Ein Sof, Or, okay, there's Ein, Ein Sof, and then Ein Sof Or, so those three things. Ein being the light, Ein Sof being the womb, and Ein Sof Or being that point of light that then introduces, you know, the beginnings of creation. And so Sophia existed in the Ein Sof energy. She actually represents the womb. And so when everything else was sort of moving into, like, okay, now it's time for the creator to emanate itself, you know, it emanated itself in these pairs. And the pairs, I think there's eight pairs called the Ogduad, form the whole Pleroma. And Sophia is considered the heart of the Pleroma. If you look at, you know, eight pairs and you divide it by two and then you've got four. You know, it starts off basically with the Trinity. You know, you have the divine pair. That's the first differentiate. I mean, that's the first thing that we see coming out of the limitless and what is birthed out of the womb, you know. And so we have the masculine and feminine. Before that, it was more androgynous. But the masculine and feminine, you know, end up birthing a child, the magical child. And in the balance of the masculine and feminine, that child, one could see as the Christ consciousness. So when we look at the Trinity, you know, the feminine is like the Holy Spirit, the Father is the Father, and then the child would be the Christ consciousness. Not everybody sees it like that. Religion has somewhat distorted it. In other metaphysical terms, you know, it could be Kasha, you know, which relates to the sound fields, the light fields, and, you know, the birthing, the void. And anyway, then we've got Ein Sof, Or, and the Kabbalistic tree shows that, you know, beyond the seventh chakra. That's where everything was before there was anything. So anyway, aeons emerge from this. And the two pairs, you know, that basically make up the characteristics of, you know, all the other pairs are considered the Christ Sophia. The Ogduad, though, within that, the Lucifer energy ended up splitting off from the Father. And he plays a very significant and important role. And we have to figure that these characters do other things in other star systems and other galaxies and universes. This particular universe is a free will universe. And so the dramas and stories connected to Lucifer and Sophia and Christ and all this stuff, you know, is very significant to a free will universe because, you know, in a sense, you know, we identify names with characteristics, but sometimes, you know, it's good to avoid that and just allow the wholeness and allow all these energies to be one again. You know, Sophia, Lucifer, Christ, and, you know, the Father God. You know, just for us to, you know, understand that it's through us that change happens. It's through us that we redeem creation. And so, you know, this is a part of, you know, the journey of a free will universe is to sort of get lost and found. So when we deal with the masculine and feminine that starts to lean too much towards patriarchy or too much towards, you know, maybe a particular male energetic that isn't really in balance with the feminine anymore, which is inevitable pretty much in a free will universe because it's all about curiosity and experimentation, what ends up getting birthed is the negative ego. And so the negative ego wasn't called the negative ego, but it had its place and ended up being sort of this ninth energy, you know. And in the Egyptian pantheons, before the Egyptians became a pantheon outside of the Pleroma, it was called the Ennead. And that's the number nine and connected to the Council of Nine. So anyway, because a discernment started to happen in the Pleroma, you know, with Maat being the fundamental structure of the Pleroma, you know, representing the goddess of justice and balance and order and basically cosmic laws, you know, things started to get disrupted and it wasn't so balanced anymore. And so I believe that the Big Bang is connected to this. I believe there's been more than one Big Bang. That basically Sophia, the energy of, you know, the masculine and feminine, who was not able to maintain balance and just, you know, birth that magical child and keep that Trinity as the Godhead, because these other aspects started to form personality and, you know, there was just an offshoot, you know, which helps us to understand identity and ego, which serves us today as long as we can get over some of the mistakes of the negative ego, which is the redemption of Lucifer, you know, coming back into wholeness. You know, it's also the redemption of ourselves, you know, and it's not like blaming it all on Lucifer either. He plays a very significant, important role, you know, running sort of away from the tribe to give us something to go on to then restore it. And so to me, it's all a part of the architecture of the soul matrix. And we don't want to separate any of these characters because they all sort of operate together. But basically, because there was an imbalance, all these, you know, energies got spewed out, and it ended up creating these pantheons. We got the Greek pantheon, the Sumerian pantheon, the Egyptian pantheon, and then these myths ended up being played out outside of the Pleroma, but in these higher dimensional worlds that humans could relate to, and they would learn from them or channel them or telepath with them and be affected by the different things playing out. You know, like the myths of Isis, Osiris, and Set, the myths of Enki and Enlil, and these dueling brothers that sort of represent these brothers that are two aspects of the Father now. And then, you know, the goddess who's reacting to it, who then forms, you know, darker aspects that hide in the underworld, and then her earth body, and then, you know, the higher, you know, cosmic mother coming in, not the full Sophia, but a portion of her, to bring it all back into wholeness. Funny enough, Christ, Sophia, Lucifer, all connect to the planet Venus. And so that's the planetary body that does the work in this Milky Way galaxy to bring the Milky Way back into alignment with the Andromeda galaxy, which then is a testimony to us restoring our negative ego, purifying it, and allowing the ego to be a voice for the inner balance of the masculine and feminine and the unified field of, you know, the Sophionic energy is the creator, mother, and, you know, the Christ consciousness is, you know, her son sort of mate and partner. And then the Father God, you know, permeating sort of the light fields that impregnates the goddess to, you know, give birth to these realities. I mean, you know, the thing is, all these things ended up stepping down, and in the lowest dimension, some of them actually, you know, might have even fallen into some form of corruption, but, you know, we have to understand we're multidimensional bodies. You know, whatever we go through in this 3D experience, we might have a parallel experience in a much higher aspect of who we are that never gets contaminated or altered. And Thoth is a perfect example, and some of the other characters here. And so, you know, let's not worry about it. Let's understand that we've inherited it, and we can change who these characters are within our own nature. You know, there's 78 cards in a tarot deck, so that's designed to help us work the energy of the archetypes and some of the things that we've inherited. But anyway, so the imbalance in the Pleroma led to the outer manifestation of the pantheons, and then Sophia ended up deciding to leave her home base and manifest into these pantheons to protect the human race from the enslavement agendas and to help seed divine humans, you know, indigos and crystal children, and ones that could hold a high enough frequency to offset, you know, the hybridization and some of the genetic manipulations that led to the first downfall of the original Atlantis, which was in dimensions 4, 5, and 6, which is different than the root race Atlantis in Lemuria. That was when we, you know, have when this new planetary body was formed, and basically Sophia, during, you know, this the original cataclysms of the original Atlantis and Lemuria is the same timing as Tiamat exploding, which was a planet in the higher dimensions, Maldek later exploding, which both became our asteroid belt, and then the goddess bursting forth these pantheons, which then led to this world that we're seeing and just the way everything is. But in Atlantis and Lemuria, as far as root races go, you know, that's when, you know, people were channeling the Hathors, people knew about these mythologies. But you know, it's just interesting because everything's all over the place. And I just think it's up to the human race to understand their divine inheritance, but to, you know, see to it that all these different things get along. You know, the negative ego wakes up to higher consciousness, and we you know, reunite the divine pair, and whatever's been patriarchal, we take out that imbalance and maybe, you know, throw it into the compost and plant a new tree that's got a different matrix structure than the one of duality that we've been in. You know, we have to empower ourselves that we can do this because we hold DNA of Sophia. When everything sank and collapsed, the time matrix was almost destroyed for good, and she helped to seed a whole new species called Orifim consciousness. And basically from that point on, everybody held the spark of Sophia, and even the demiurges and the lower creator forces. So everybody has the ability to return home. So we have to understand that we're all at different stages. And so she comes in order to help facilitate that process. And so she's got the cosmic mother, sort of the divine Sophia that never leaves the Pleroma, and then the portion of herself that comes into this human experience, which manifests as like Mary Magdalene, you know, Isis, you know, Guinevere, Morgana, and Persephone, and just pretty much all the different names, which connect also to the fragmentation of Tiamat, which was the original dragon queen. If we look at the asteroid and the asteroid belt, a lot of the different rocks are actually named after the, you know, fragmented goddess archetypes. And it's our job to bring them back into the wholeness by going through the underworld journey, by embracing our light and dark. And so Venus transits connect with this, and the Mayans understood this. And so the return of the divine feminine in relation to the Venus transits is connected with the stargates opening and the rising of this power once again within all of us. But it doesn't stand alone. It's in union, you know, with the Christ consciousness. And it's basically what it ends up doing is it starves the patriarchy and the different agendas and governmental structures that are a part of that, that have denied the feminine for so long, you know, within themselves, you know, because of course men carry the feminine, you know, and women carry the masculine, and, you know, it's not gender specific, you know, and some women are way more patriarchal than men, and some men are way more goddess orientated. So, I mean, it's not about gender, it's just about who the individual is, how they're operating, and knowing that the soul matrix here, you know, brings in all these characters, and it's through us that we bring back wholeness. And we don't want to be fragmented and be wounded anymore or create judgments or labels on some of them. You know, it's really about understanding they all need to be loved and embraced within our being. And Sophia facilitates this in a lot of ways because, of course, the mother qualities are all about nurturing and unconditional love and forgiveness, and so is the Christ consciousness, and so that is our blueprint. We all have this. And so we just keep digging until we reach that core treasure. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I just thought you were going to breathe there. No, this is part of what you're talking about is the unification of men and women, of male and female principles, and a return to the here and now as well. Because it's like, okay, well, you can start blaming, but then everybody's to blame. Or nobody's
exactly.
to blame. You know,
I mean, we come from this, so it's like, you know, and we hold pieces
that.
Of it.
Just stop that, you know. It's like the kids saying, stop that, mum and dad, you know. This is hurting me. So we're looking at one of the words you used previously, and this is and it's not exactly the adequate word for it, and I know you understand what I'm saying, is the word allow. There's a kind of dynamic allowance that is very much like, I would think, the let, as in let there be light.
Right.
Somehow there is an inadequate, and it's really weird. It's like there's almost a feeling that is missing, and it's like, is this one of those feelings that has been, hacked out of me, or hacked out of the human race? This kind of dynamic allowance that allows reality to express itself as you picture it, as you image it. Is this what I'm talking? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. So allowance, you know, has a lot to do with, you know, allowing the intelligence of the cosmos and nature to work through us, to work with us, you know, because it knows what to do. It knows how to restore balance. I mean, what could be more intelligent than the way the web of life functions together and how it supports ecosystems? And then the cosmos, I mean, with all these different planets, you know, and the thing with nature is it's wild, yet it's ordered. And the thing with the divine plan is I don't think it was a mapped out plan, but I think it always knows how to sort of self-correct and sort of reassess and sort of keep things on track and present it with new ways of seeing things so that we don't lose ourselves. You know, while, you know, they take advantage of our vulnerability and try and trick us into, you know, losing connection with it. And so, you know, there's all sorts of alterations to the timelines, you know, with time travel, and there's alterations based on how much we accelerate our processes, and, you know, whether we resist or allow, you know, has a huge, you know, relation to timing. You know, if we resist throughout our life, you know, and not allowing, you know, it delays things a little bit, but then when we, you know, say that there really is no time and space because there isn't, we recognize nature and how it restores and regenerates, and it doesn't really age, you know, but it rebirths, you know, constantly. You know, it things die, goes back into the earth, seeds are planted, and it comes back again, and the compost strengthens it. So whatever we let go of, whatever we release, is fertilizer for the new growth. And so, you know, what better than to just, you know, embrace everything and just, you know like how to just kind of understand the ebb and flows and know when it's time to release, when it's time to, you know, be receptive, when it's time to be creative. And that's just a function of exercising our intuitive muscle and getting back on the treadmill. You know, if you can't hear your inner voice, it's still there. It just might be atrophied. So get on the treadmill, do something that's going to help to, you know, exercise that muscle, and, you know, we'll be able to hear ourselves again. But yeah, allowance, you know, is a flow too with just us being ourselves. And also, you know, sometimes we try so hard to control things that sometimes it's better to just sort of let things fall into place and show us, you know, okay, well, what's the final assessment? Now we can act. But yeah, I mean, when we talk about allowance, it's certainly much, you know, better than resistance. But when you say there's a missing link, you know, am I touching upon something, or am I not quite getting to what you're looking for me to get to?
Sorry. It's an active form of the term allowance, which is, and in a way, it's like, the only way you can allow a plant to grow is you have to give it the right conditions. Right. And if you can give it optimal, you know, conditions, like, you know, somebody who's growing weed or something, you know, they give it, they just, they, you know, they've done so much learning about how to make a plant just give the perfect yield and make it happy and all that stuff and put the clunkers on the side of all sort of things, that you produce the optimal, and that's a kind of active allowance because you can't rip the plant out of the ground. You can't peel a bud back to make it flower. It comes from the inside.
Yes.
And it's that is what I mean by the active allowance. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, of course.
It's like a divine quality.
It's amazing. And I touch upon this a lot, you know, that, you know, people are like, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to do here? I don't quite understand all this. And it's just like, you're already seated with it. You know, it's in the seed of who you are. And I always tell them, give yourself plenty of sunlight and water and allow, you know, the unfoldment to happen, because the, you know, you're already wired to do what you came here to do. You know, you don't have to, you know, overly stress yourself, you know, trying to beat your head against the wall, trying to figure it out. You know, we need quiet time. We need to just sort of like, you know, be able to hear ourselves. We need to, you know, protect ourselves, you know, make sure that nobody's trampling on, you know, what is, you know, destined to blossom. And, you know, but yeah, it's that allowance. It's like, it's all pretty effortless. And the thing is, you know, the planet's no different. It's seated with an ascension cord, a 13-dimensional core, and it was destined in, it's always been an ascension planet and meant to ascend. And so, you know, this is part of, you know, allowance with us and the seed that we hold, and also allowance with Mother Earth and trusting and embracing all that. You know, the Matrix doesn't allow for much trust and embracing. You know, there's a lot of suspicion. There's a lot of competition. It's kind of like every man out for themselves and, you know, knock down whoever stands in your way to get to the top. You know, nature is so much different, and just, you know, it's just the nurturing of, you know, what's already within and allowing it to reveal itself and be illuminated, you know, and that's why the dark night of the soul and just going inside is so important, and those initiations are crucial, because we unwind a lot of that social engineering and all that conditioning and programming, and that keeps us, you know, so distracted. But yeah, I love that word, and, you know, and I think, you know, when people understand the simplicity connected to their own unfoldment and discovering their purpose, you know, it takes off a lot of the pressure, you know, which is a whole lot of energy that, you know, that can be very draining to feel that stress and pressure of trying to figure out your purpose. It's well, like, yeah. No, it's already there. You know, observe it. You know, see, you know, just be watchful. And you know, we're creative, too, so we can push the envelope. We can, you know, invoke things. We can make things happen, you know. We're designed to do that, you know. So it's a purpose that is also, you know, constantly designing new realities and new visions and perceptions. Anyway, sorry.
so yeah, it's being able to kind of, it's just like gardening, giving the right conditions and things will grow. And, you know, I really think that this is the way forward, that when these, well, you know, when the matrix that holds these ideas in form is switched off, which I think is something that is going to happen soon, there's going to be some downtime. It's like I used to work on computer complexes, and, you know, there were times when the engineers had to just take the thing down and it wouldn't boot up for 3 days, you know.
Right.
Downtime. Great. What should we do? I have the feeling that there is a new program or a new, it's like Windows having been so, you know, so infiltrated by viruses that a fresh clean copy is installed, and that, you know, this time we've got the keys, we've got the administrative password, and we can create our own software, this time we don't, you know, maybe it can be more like Linux. Yeah, I want this bit, and that bit. Thank you very much.
I love it. I feel that so much, too. And this is part of, like, you know, what all these incarnations have helped us to arrive at. You know, these are the epiphanies that we should be having. And it's amazing to me how, like, some of us are getting the activations and other people, it's just like, it's just bypassing them. But doesn't mean they're not going to eventually, you know, come around. It's like, you know, we plant seeds in people to help connect with the original seed that was put in there, you know, to help, you know, maybe knock out all the weeds that have strangled, you know, its potential. But, you know, it's part of the new paradigm to be very supportive and in the frame of mind of, you know, assisting our fellow brother and sister.
Yeah, and at the same time, taking no crap.
Oh my God.
And that,
I know.
You know,
stay with the, I know.
go on.
Oh no, I mean, yeah, my last 6 months have been about taking no crap, and I sometimes take it too far to make sure that certain people know very well that I will not take any crap and you do not want to mess with me. But yeah, it's like, there's sort of a spectrum and there's sort of that middle point. It's like you cross the line, you know. There's certain things, you know, maybe acting out or being frustrated with the messenger and, okay, I get that, I have compassion, that's fine, you know. There's certain things that though, you know, once you cross over that barrier, it's like, something's going to happen and they're not going to like what's going to come from me. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, ignore it, don't feed it. And it's like, you know, I am not called to feed trolls. You know, I'm not really feeling a need to do that. There's a part of me that can kind of tell the difference. You know, it doesn't mean I'm spot on 100%, but, you know, I'm not going to hold on to that energy that was thrown at me. And if I wasn't able to guard myself in that moment because I read it first thing in the morning and I'm just kind of like sort of still out there from the astral, I'm going to throw it right back at that person. And I'm, And it's important, you know. There's nothing wrong with standing our ground. You know, it's another thing to destroy somebody or, you know, threaten them or be derogatory or match their level, which, you know, we don't want to match that level. But, you know, it's another thing to exercise our divine rage and, you know, understand that, you know, there is some justice there and that person might need it more than other people might realize. You know, sometimes you need that sting in the butt to maybe think again. And when I see the opportunity and I think that person needs it and I think that they're not trolling, they're just absolutely lost, yeah, I have no issue whatsoever saying it like it is.
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it, that sometimes you try to be pleasant, try to be nice, and you know there's some point when you just snap and say what just exactly what's in your mind and what's in your heart at the same time, and wham, and then they come back and you don't see them for a while, and they come back a few weeks later and like, actually what you said was just right for me and thanks very much.
Exactly. I have had that.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had a lot of people apologize. Actually, people that were insulting me on YouTube, you know, I just addressed one day. I was just in the mood to just, you know, just converse with people. And then there was a real person harassing me and went to YouTube and smeared me all over every YouTube channel. And the previous people that had been somewhat insulting and critical towards me, you know, completely cornered her and had my back because they appreciated the fact that I was willing to be in discussion with them. So, you know, I think, you know, there is a place for it. I mean, it totally served me. It was like they completely went after her and I didn't have to do anything. And it was the people that, you know, were giving me a hard time originally. And they just loved the fact that, like, I did, you know, help them see something that, you know, and I think people think, you know, oh, she's just, you know, maybe just all about love and sweetness and new age bullshit. And it's like, no, you know, this stuff is ancient, first off. And I have a deep connection to, you know, fire and just justice.
Laura, isn't that funny? Funny. Let me just see if I've, have I muted this call? No, I'm not muted, no. Let me just call you back and...
There you are. Okay,
oh.
I got you.
Oh, good. That's good. Just filling in the space. So we're about a minute away. Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, it's been a real pleasure. It's been a lovely learning curve. And you haven't even told anybody about what you were going to... Are you still going to do the thing?
What was the thing?
The whole about running...
Oh, well, a lot of people want me to run for president, but I'm here to take down the White House and the government, so that's probably what I'm going to spend more time doing. I mean, if it means that I need to go into the arena, I will. I'm open to it. I'm just trying to find the best position and I have an open mind to, you know, wherever, you know, spirit wants me and where humanity might need me, and that's what I'm here for. So, but yeah, presidential campaign, Laura running for president 2016, that's a possibility. But I'm really, you know, wanting to support, you know, the new system and just something absolutely new emerging, you know, connected to what we talked about, where we just abandon government and we just form our pods and our tribes and our families and, you know, connect the dots together.
Thank you very much for connecting some of our dots, Laura. Laura,
thank
Eisenhower.
You for having me.
Thank you for being... All right, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good night, everybody.
Love being here.
Love
good
you.
Night.
Good night.